5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Well, here we are, at the end of the book, The Christmas Reindeer, written by our old friend Thornton W. Burgess. We're going to read chapters 21, 22, and 23. Also, in addition to being at the end of the book, we are also at the end of the year 2025. I hope that you enjoyed your Christmas holiday and are looking forward to the new year in just a couple days. Thank you for listening to our podcast, and I look forward to the many journeys that we will take in 2026. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
To go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 21, Attacked by Wolves. Summer this year was shorter than usual. As if they knew that the winter would come early and be long and hard, the deer left the Valley of the Good Spirit earlier than ever before, and began the slow journey back toward the winter grazing grounds. At the first movement of the herds, Aklak and Tuktu had been sent back to the main camp to help break camp and move to their winter home. So it was not until the deer were back on the home pastures that they had an opportunity to look for the deer Aklak had so carefully trained. An unusually bold family of wolves had attacked the herd on the way. There are no more cunning people in all the great world than the wolves. For days they had followed the deer without once being discovered by either the deer or the herders. Perhaps the latter had grown careless. Perhaps they had allowed the deer to scatter too widely. Anyway, the attack came when there were no herders near enough to interfere. A wary, clever old mother was the leader of those wolves. She knew deer as not even the herders knew them. She knew just how to cut out a small band of animals from the main herd and drive them into the hills to be killed at leisure. She knew how to do it without stampeding the rest of the herd, and she and her well-grown children did it. It wasn't until one of the herders found their tracks in newly fallen snow that the presence of the wolves was suspected. Then it didn't take long to discover what had happened. Two of the herders, who were also noted hunters, set out on the trail of the wolves to make sure that the band was not still hanging around. They also hoped that they might find some of the missing deer. But those deer had been run hard and fast, and all the hunters found were the cleanly picked bones of several. The others had been so scattered that it was useless to try to round them up. There was no way of knowing whose deer the wolves had killed until the winter roundup. Then, when the count was made, it would be discovered whose deer were missing. But it was a long time to wait for that winter roundup, so Tuktu and Aklak spent much time going about in the herd looking for those trained deer. And they were not the only ones who were looking. Kutok, their father, had been very proud of those deer, and as soon as the herd was back on the home pastures, he asked Aklak where they were. Of course, Aklak had to tell him that he hadn't seen them. Now, trained sled deer are valuable animals, and Kutok at once called the other herders to him and told them to watch out for these particular deer. He remembered the attack of the wolves, and he feared greatly that the 8 sled deer might have been the victims. This was the same fear that was tugging at the hearts of Aklak and Tuktu. There was no way for them to know whether the good spirit had chosen those deer or whether the wolves had killed them. There could be no way of knowing until the return of the herds to the seashore in the early summer. Meanwhile, Aklak was busy training more deer, and one of these was Little Spot. He was still young for sled work, but he was such a splendid young deer, so big and so strong and so willing, that everybody who saw him said that in time he would make the finest sled deer in all the Northland. Of course, Tuktu and Aklak said nothing to their father of their hope that the good spirit had chosen those deer. They suspected that should they tell, they would be laughed at. Also, they were afraid their father would not like it that they should have dared to think that they could train deer for the good spirit. So when the roundup came and none of the deer were found, but it was discovered that several others of Kutok's deer were also missing, they pretended to think, as did all the other folk, that Kutok had been unfortunate and that the wolves had gotten his deer. This was what everyone believed, and it was repeated so often that Tuktu and Aklak found it difficult at times not to believe that it was true. "Had it not been for those wolves, we should know," Tuktu kept saying over and over. "I hate those wolves. I do so." Kutok also hated the wolves. He hated them for the same reason that Tuktu did, and he hated them because he knew that if those deer were not safe in the Valley of the Good Spirit, they most certainly had been eaten by this time, and all his hard work had gone for nothing. So it was that the wolves brought worry to the home of Kutok. Chapter 22, The Christmas Invitation. It had been known to the village since the forming of new ice that the ship which they had visited in the summer had not left for the faraway country from which it had come, but was now frozen in the ice and would spend the winter in the far Northland. So there was no surprise when one day there arrived two white men and an Eskimo guide who had journeyed overland by dog sledge. One of these men was the one who had told Tuktu the Christmas story. As Kutok's house was the largest and the best house in the village, the visitors were entertained there. They remained 2 or 3 days, and when they left to return to their ship, all the village turned out to see them go. They had brought things to trade, and in return for deer meat and warm clothing of deerskin, had left things which were of equal value to the Eskimos. And they had left the feeling of goodwill, for in all their trading, they had taken the greatest care to be fair. When they left, they had taken with them a promise that those of the men who could be spared from their duties in watching the deer, together with some of the women and children from the village, would visit the ship at a certain time, which the white men called Christmas. There would be much feasting and merrymaking and strange things to see on the ship. The white man who had made friends with Tuktu had made Kutok promise that Tuktu should come. And this her father had been the more willing to grant because he had been given a knife he had long wanted. So it was arranged that unless the weather should be too bad, so there could be no traveling, Ekok, Navaluk, and the two children, and perhaps some others of the village, should pay a Christmas visit to the ship. Tuktu and Aklak could think of and talk about little elves. Aklak saw to it that the sled deer were in the best possible condition. It would take them at least 2 days and one sleep. That sleep would be at the herder's hut near Kringle Valley. At least that is the way that Kutok planned to go. There was a longer way around by way of another village, and this would be the way that others from the village would go. Kutok and Aklak went to work on the sleds. They must be put in the best condition for such a long journey. They would take 6, one for each of them, and 2 extra to carry provisions and things for trade. It would not be necessary to have extra drivers, for often one driver handles at least 3 sleds. He rides on the first one, the deer drawing the second one is attached to the rear of the sled, and to the rear of that sled is attached the 3rd deer. So, it would be a simple matter to look out for the extra sleds on this journey. Kutok was to drive Speedfoot, Tuktu would drive Big Spot, Aklak would drive Little Spot, and Navaluk would drive Whitefoot. While her father and brother were busy going over the sleds and seeing to it that they were in perfect order, Tuktu and her mother were equally busy. They had promised two pairs of boots and two new suits for which they had taken the measurements when their visitors were with them, and there would be none too much time to get them ready. As she worked, Tuktu kept thinking of all that she had heard from the white man about Christmas. This would be her first Christmas, and she wondered if she would see the wonderful Santa Claus. Then she remembered that he would be on his journey around the great world. Besides, had she not been told that those who peeked never saw him? But despite this, right down in her heart, she couldn't help hoping that she might get just a glimpse of him. She did want to see if the Santa of the white man was in very truth the good spirit whom she had seen in Kringle Valley. The cold grew stronger, the northern lights flashed, and the stars seemed so close that one could almost pick them from the sky. It was a world of white, but the snow was not so deep but that the deer could easily paw down through it and get their food. It was just right for good sledding, and as the time for the start approached, Tuktu and Aklak watched anxiously lest a fierce northern blizzard should sweep down and delay their journey. But the blizzard did not come, and at last they were ready to start. Each wore two suits. The inner one was worn with the fur turned in and the outer one with the fur out. The inner hood was trimmed with wolverine fur because frost does not cling to this fur. With any other fur, the moisture from the breath would freeze and soon make a ring of ice around the face. The outer hood was trimmed with wolfskin, the long hair of which would protect the face from the bitter wind. With their bearskin trousers and their double boots, they had nothing to fear from the cold. So with Kutok leading, with a deer and one of the luggage sleds following, Aklak next with the second extra deer and sled behind him, Navaluk next, and Tuktu at the end, the little procession started for their Christmas outing. Chapter 23, The Christmas Vision. It was late when Kutok and his family reached the camp near the Valley of the Good Spirit. It had been a wonderful journey. The snow had been just right, and the reindeer had traveled steadily and fast, for they were in splendid condition. Now they were fastened out, each tied by a long line to a hummock under the snow. There was plenty of food here, and the deer at once began to paw down to get it. It is one of the advantages in traveling with reindeer that their food does not have to be carried for them. They will get their own food at the end of the day's trip. Kutok and Navaluk had no thought for anything but rest after the evening meal. But not so the two children. They could not forget that they were in sight of the hills around the Valley of the Good Spirit, and that it might be that over there in that valley were the 8 missing deer. So, when their father and mother were asleep, they slipped out from the hut for a look over toward the wonderful valley, for was it not from that valley that the marvelous northern lights flashed up through the sky? There was no wind, the cold was intense, but Tuktu and Aklak were dressed for it, and they minded it not at all. It seemed as if the stars were so close that they could be reached. It was not moonlight, for this was the period when the moon was not visible, but the starlight almost made up for it. And then, as they stood there, looking over toward the Valley of the Good Spirit, a long streamer of light suddenly flashed out and up, 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 until it was quite overhead. It quivered, almost died down, then shot up again. Then came another, and another, and another. The northern lights, the merry dancers of the sky, dimmed the stars and made the night almost as light as day. At first, these northern lights were simply white, and then they were shot with yellow and red. All their lives, Tuktu and Aklak had been familiar with these fires of the sky, but never had they seen them as they now saw them. They caught their breath and held to each other with a little bit of fear. Those fires were no longer mere flashing white, shimmering, dancing streamers of light. They were yellow and red in many shades, and they appeared, as if in very truth, they were fires leaping high up in the sky. And as they had so often heard it said, those dancing, leaping lights were coming out of the Valley of the Good Spirit. Certainly, they were flashing from directly behind the hills that shut away that valley, so of course they must be coming from the valley. The lights died down. For a few moments, there was no light save from the stars. Then, from directly over the Valley of the Good Spirit, a long streamer of white, flickering light crept up and up, and as it crept, it broadened until it was like a broad path across the sky toward the south. There was the tinkle of silver bells. Tuktu touched Aklak. "See, Aklak? See the deer?" she whispered. But Aklak had already seen them. On that broad, shining path, a pair of reindeer had appeared. He knew them instantly. They were two of the deer he had trained and which had disappeared. Out of the shimmering light behind them moved two more, and those he recognized. There could be no doubt. He would have known them among 10,000 deer. They were harnessed two and two, and as they moved forward, another pair appeared, and then another. Clinging together, breathless, round-eyed, Aklak and Tuktu stared. 8 deer they counted, 8 deer harnessed two and two. Would there be more? The curtain of light low above the hilltop seemed to burst in a glory of color such as made what they had seen before seem as nothing. And out of the midst of that glory, drawn by the 8 deer, came a sled. On it, Tuktu recognized instantly Santa Claus, the good spirit, whom she had seen in the valley. He was short and jolly and round and fat, with a fur-trimmed coat and a fur-trimmed hat. He laughed ha-ha, and he laughed ho-ho. "Hello, little folk," he cried, "hello. The boys and girls of the world this year will see for themselves my splendid deer, will see and love them and surely know that the reindeer come, though there may be no snow. For their magic deer from a magic sleigh, and we circle the world in a single day. There is naught so faithful and naught so quick to carry the message of old Saint Nick. By training my steeds, you have saved for me some weeks of labor, and so you see. It happens I'm able to start this year, in time for the children to see the deer. And all who see them, I tell you true, a Christmas greeting will send to you. As you will have given joy to all the little folk of the great world this year, in like degree will your own Christmas be merry, and will happiness fill your hearts. And now, my dears, I must away. Santa waved a mittened hand to them, and turned to his deer and cried, "Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen." Now a single path of light across the sky toward the south, the 8 deer dashed until in a breath they were mere specks. Up from the valley, the orange and red lights streamed higher and higher until all the sky was a blaze of beautiful light. When they died down, only the stars were to be seen, twinkling so close that it seemed as if they might be picked from the sky. With shining eyes, Tuktu and Aklak returned to the hut. "No one will believe us if we tell it," whispered Tuktu. "They'll say we dreamed it. We'll wait, Aklak, until the blessed deer are returned to us by the good spirit next summer, and we can show his earmark. Then all will know that we speak truly." Thus it was that it was made possible for the boys and girls of the great world to really see Santa Claus and his blessed reindeer. And thus it was that Tuktu and Aklak found happiness and great content and the real joy of the blessed Christmas spirit.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle found its place in history.